Our next speaker is going to talk about some surface issues. Is Ross Sutherland. He is a partner in the Austin office of Scott Douglas and McConica, where he has a energy litigation and railroad commission practice. He attended the University of Texas and the University of Texas School of Law. He's currently the vice chair of the Oil, Gas, and Mineral Law section of the Austin Bar Association. And one tidbit here in the bio that I just find fascinating is that Ross is a three-time wild hog catching world champion and world record holder. So buckle up. Here's Ross.
If any wild hogs get loose during this presentation, you know they're all safe. The problem will be dealt with swiftly. We're going to turn to a little bit of Railroad Commission work, which is a large part of my docket. I'm pretty sure all of y'all are familiar, but my grandma tells me, I would say, at least once a month that the railroads running behind her house really bother her. And I have to keep reminding her that is not within my jurisdiction, and I can't help her with that problem. So, but anyways, thank you for attending. Hope you enjoyed the breakfast. As Greg mentioned, I'm Ross Sutherland. I'm a partner at Scott Douglas. Today we're discussing Chapter 92 of the Texas Natural Resources Code, which has also been promulgated within statewide Rule 76 of the Texas Railroad Commission. And essentially what this rule seeks to do is kind of ease the tensions between the surface estate and the mineral estate. And whenever we have those severances, and I mean, that's why lots of us are gainfully employed, is that there's the tension between the surface owner and the mineral owner. And we know the surface owner lots of time gets the short end of the stick. However, this chapter, this rule seek to provide kind of a preemptive a planning mechanism that surface developers can use in order to kind of protect themselves from mineral development. So as I stated here, we know when the mineral estate gets severed, that can create conflicts. The mineral estate is the dominant estate because you have to use the surface in order to extract the minerals. And Texas law allows an oil and gas operator ingress and egress, roads, site selection, wells, facilities. They have a lot of power and options that they can choose from in order to produce the minerals that are below the surface. They can use the groundwater for drilling operations if there is no other reasonable alternative. Now, in Getty Oil, a landmark Texas case that came up with the accommodation doctrine, which somewhat put a check on what oil and gas operators can do, but that's based upon existing surface uses. And basically it said that mineral owners can exercise their rights, but they must do so with due regard for existing surface uses. So, you know, that was kind of the first step we saw in getting some sort of check on what oil and gas operators are able to do. But again, it only speaks to existing surface uses. And so a question becomes, how do surface owners protect themselves, especially when they don't have any sort of mineral estate, don't hold the mineral estate? And so one option is the surface use agreements. And I'm sure many of y'all are familiar with SUAs. They're all very highly fact-specific, depends on, you know, what you're dealing with, the size of the land, whether it's urban, whether it's suburban, out in the country, you know, different types of things that these surface owners are seeking to remedy. And it's been described as kind of a sliding scale as to whether or not a surface owner has the ability to enter into a meaningful surface use agreement, depending on, you know, what their property looks like and whether or not they have any minerals. Where, you know, on one end of the scale, you have some large 20,000 acre ranch, and that surface owner also owns 50% of the minerals, and someone's seeking to lease their land. Well, it's certainly they're going to be able to enter into